Cyrus is, number one, a real character of antiquity. Would you agree then with me that what he has done in many of his military campaigns is a matter of historical record? Would you agree with me? Remember, Isaiah is written 700 years BC, verse 26. God speaking to Isaiah, listen, I am the God of everything. I'm the God who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited. Outside history tells us that 2 weeks after the battle is secured, he rides in on his white steed to great pomp and circumstance. He is met there by a rickety old man, Daniel. Where were the people of Israel at this time? In captivity in Babylon. And God promised, you're only going to be there 70 years. When Cyrus does show up, he's met there, and then Daniel, it is said, shows King Cyrus this. You're going to let my people go home. End of verse 26. To the cities of Judah you shall be built, and I will raise up her wasted or destroyed places. Cyrus might have went, I'm going to let the Jewish captives go, huh? Why is that, Daniel? Because, verse 27, who says to the deep, what? Be dry, and I will dry up your what? Verse 28, who says of, what does it say in your Bible? Oh, loved ones, circle that. 150 years before he's even born. Look what's in your Bible, you guys. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. He shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be rebuilt. For 70 years it had laid in destruction. And to the temple your foundation shall be laid. Chapter 45. Thus says the Lord and his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, to loose the armor of kings. A bit of an unfortunate translation. Circle armor. That Hebrew word is mothen. King James did it right. Loins. Let me reread it. To subdue nations before you, and when you show up, some kings' hips are going to be loosed. Did that happen? Isn't that amazing? To open before him the double doors. What did the commandos do? Under the wall and open the gates of Ishtar. So that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze. I will cut the bars of iron. They had to saw through some iron bars underneath the wall to make it through to the other side, did the commandos. Verse 3. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I am the Lord who called you by your name. Verse 4, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. Back to Revelation chapter 18. The universities, especially back east, what are now called the Ivy League schools, did you know that they were first built because they were seminaries to train men for pastorate and ministry and missionary work? You go to college now and the professors with many letters after their names, they're trying to tell you, you can't believe this. It's a storybook of fables. Somebody should say amen right there. I'm just... Verse 8, I am no widow. That was the boast of Babylon, saying, we're not going to lose our men to some failed military campaign because we're just all that in a bag of chips. The first Babylon said that. And what is Revelation saying? So will the second one. Verse 8, therefore her plagues will come in one day. Death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Verse 9. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her. And when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, Will this be nukes? Will this be humans doing it to themselves? Could be. Or is it divine judgment like Sodom and Gomorrah? The Bible just doesn't say specifics. The specific it does mention is it's going to take 1 hour. Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city, the anti-city, Babylon, a testimony to all that humans can do and build. Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has overcome, and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore." I wrote in my Bible, isn't anybody caring for the jillions of people who died? That's not what these people are mourning over. Remember, Team Jesus, love God, help people. When you hang out with God, His love and concern for all that is lost really gets on you. And then all you want to do is help people. And all the stuff that you have in your life, you realize isn't for me anyway. It's for Him. Team Babylon, love stuff. Use people. Forget God. What are these people mourning? The sudden tragic end and snuffed out of tens of thousands, if not millions, of human lives? What are they really lamenting? Ah, my stuff! Oh, my mall, my tower, first floor, jewelry. Merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls. Floor number two, please, clothing. Fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet. Floor number three, please, home furnishings. Every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood and large screen televisions. Bronze and iron and marble. Fifth floor, please, cosmetics. And cinnamon and incense and fragrant oil and frankincense, so that when I go partying, I can be smelling and looking good. Wine and oil, fine flour, wheat and cattle and sheep, all the great restaurants. Horses and chariots, that's in the upper level, that's automotive. And bodies and souls of men. This is the slave trade. If you do a deep study of the Hebrew, this could also mean sex trade. Verse 14. The fruit that your soul longed for is gone. The first civil project was building a tower. Where? In Babylon. The current city of Babylon on the plains of Shinar. Saddam Hussein was on an extensive and vigorous rebuilding project of Babylon. And the Ishtar gates have been rebuilt. He worked hard at reconstructing Nebuchadnezzar's palace. And it's the estimation of some, when the handwriting was on the wall, that great hall of Nebuchadnezzar has been rebuilt. Some of you remember the night of shock and awe as Desert Storm began to go. Do you remember that? Some of the cut to video was of a Baghdad, to be sure, but some of it was Saddam Hussein's palace being bombed. What palace? His reconstructed Nebuchadnezzar palace located on the foundations of the old city of Babylon. Most of us miss that connection and potentially the significance of it. Well, Babylon is going to be rebuilt. Well, how long is it going to take? Maybe 7 years? I don't know. Oh, come on, Steve. You can't have an economic system pick up from what? New York or Tokyo or Singapore or Shanghai, New York stock exchanges of whatever kind. You're not going to disrupt the world system so much so that it's going to go on the deserts and the plains of Shinar. Come on. You're living in a dream world. I want to take you to a place that you may or may not have heard of. It's the United Arab Emirates. Go ahead, Chris. There's the United Arab Emirates. not even its own country until the year 1971. They found oil there in 1966. So they've been a little busy, really, since the turn of this last century. Hit the go button. This was about 5 years ago. This is what's called the marina. And I want you to notice all the buildings that are going up. This happened in less than 3 years. What does it look like today? Hit the go button. Vegas. All this you see was desert 7 years ago. Hit the go button. I got more for you. That is the Princess Tower, the tallest one you see. See the one that looks like it got bent? That is called the Infinity Tower. It's just now been completed. The big, huge one in the middle. What is that? That's the Princess Tower. So that's the tallest residential tower in the world. It is as tall as both of the World Trade Centers used to be. The next one. This is the Burj Al Arab Hotel. That's a hotel, you guys. How amazing is that? In case you were wondering, it's 1,056 feet tall, 60 floors of incredible opulence. It was the tallest tower hotel in the world until last year when the Marriott Marquis opened up, which is now the world's tallest hotel tower. And guess where that tower is? Right, practically next door. Hit our go button. It's 900 feet offshore. You can't go there unless you have reservations at one of the many restaurants. It's truly an astounding place. If you want to stay there, one of their smallest rooms is about, 1,500 square feet. That'll cost you probably 1,500 a night. And if you're feeling a little more kind of invigorated, get their big suite, $30,000 a night. I think I have the pool up here. Hit the next one. There's the swimming hole. That swimming hole is on the 18th floor. Well, I want to get outside. I'd like to play a little recreation. Do you play tennis? Hit the button. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Hit the go button one more time. There it is, up there. Hit the next button. You go get the ball. I don't want to get the ball. You go get it. I'm not going to go get it. You see what humans can do when they put their mind to it? The average temperature there can go anywhere from 120 to 130. Dead of winter, you get to the bone-chilling wind chill factor of 80 degrees Fahrenheit. What if you want to go a little skiing? That's called the Burj Ski. Look at that. They're skiing inside in the desert. Next one. This is an island they built from the water. They filled in all that land to make it look like a palm branch. Well, how big is it? Let's zoom in. What's on all those palm fronds? Mansions. I hit the go button. That's the Burj Khalifa Tower. It's the tallest building in the world. 2,722 feet. Hit the go button. There was plans to build an even bigger one. 1,000 feet taller. This was called the Nakheel Tower. It would have been an entire kilometer above the surface of the earth. But because of the crash of 08 and 09, that project is now on hold. Thank you, Chris. Let's bring up our lights. There's something about when humans plant the flag of their civilization in any location. One of the first things we want to do to show off a little bit is what? Build us a tower. By the way, there are 18 towers in Dubai that measure 1,000 feet or more. The tallest skyline in the world is no longer New York, Chicago, or even Toronto. It's Dubai. They built all that within a 7-year period. The majority of the funding that came in to build those amazing buildings with their gold-plated swimming pools, that came from commerce and investors of a few. What will happen and how quickly will it happen when the Antichrist has all the world's money's taxes flowing into him? It is not beyond imagination that within a short period of time, boom, Babylon that this Bible is talking about could be raised from literally the sands of the desert within even 3 or 4 years. Back to our study, we'll zoom to the end. Verse 14 again. The fruit that you so longed for is gone. You see, when you build towers and you put all that effort and passion and time and resources in and it's done, you're all, oh, that's awesome, which really means I'm awesome. And when God rattles that thing and it crumbles, look what people do. They freak out. But you know what won't burn? Obedience to God. You can't burn that. You can't burn the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Stop me when you don't want one of these. Love, joy, peace. Oh, peace. Kindness, goodness, self-control. You can't burn that. You can tell when you've got a tower in your life. I don't have a tower. Have you seen my checkbook? I don't have a tower. Yeah, but you might. Well, how do you know if it's a tower? When God rattles it and we freak out? If we're holding on too tight to something, might be a tower. Men build towers. God builds men. Some of us drove our towers into the parking lot today. Maybe your tower is fear. Maybe your tower is bitterness. You can't let go. Well, why are you broken? And you rehearse your story again. It's a tower. How can you tell it's a tower? When God shakes the thing, you're all, no! If he knows that you have a tower or six in your life, he will rattle that thing. Ministry. That can't be a tower because I'm doing it for God. Are you? Here's how you can tell. If he rattles it and you're all, no! Verse 14. Oh, the fruit that you've longed for is gone. My tower. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you and you shall find them no more. Oh, my tower, my tower, my tower. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Listen to these guys. Man, you touch their tower and they go to pieces. And saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed, oh look, in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones. Ooh, 1 hour, it's gone. I'm a mess. Malachi chapter 3, the people of God were a little confused. They had never had it more prosperous. They were going to church on a regular basis. But as a people, they were saying, our hearts are empty. We feel far from you. So God raises up Malachi and says, I know your hearts are far from me. Here's how you can fix it. You have robbed me with your tithes and your offering. Pastor C is going to try to stick a crowbar in our wallets. I'm not trying to do that. I want you to notice that in Malachi chapter 3, the cry of the people were, we feel far from you. How do we remedy that? God says, step number one, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Get your resources, not just money, time, talent, and resources. The talent that you have and the job that I gave you, that's all for me. Well, what's it for? It's for Team Jesus. Love God, help people, and use your resources for all of the above. Lord, my passion, my investment, you don't know all the hours. I need all of this for my tower. And God says, please don't ever forget Revelation 18. All the towers are going to come down. Verse 17. 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every ship master, all who travel by ship, and sailors, as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance. Because of this, people have postulated, maybe he's talking about New York or some seafaring city. Don't forget that Alexander the Great settled in Babylon and was planning to move his extensive capital to this region. And he had on the drawing board a system to dredge and widen the entire Euphrates River. And he envisioned a 1,000-ship seaport. So it has been thought about before. Verse 18, when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and they cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, my tower, the great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, says the angel now, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. That a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city, Babylon, shall be thrown down, and shall not be found any more. Right in your margin there, Isaiah 13, verses 19 through 22, and Jeremiah 51, verses 25 and 26. The Bible prophesies that this destruction of Babylon, when God's done, no humans will ever be there again. Has Babylon been overrun before in history? Mm-hmm. But it's always been inhabited by people. Now verse 22. The sound of harpists and musicians and flutists and trumpeters shall not be heard anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone. The biggest commodity of food that most villages had would be bread. And how would you do that? You take your millstone, you grind your grain into flour. So in a sense, it's basically saying the most typical sound of human living there. Not going to be there. The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. No more humans will ever be in this city judged by God on the banks of the Euphrates, the devil's city, the anti-city, Babylon. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, not so much anymore. And by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived, verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. Let's all stand together. Hey, don't miss next week. Jesus comes back. Lord, when we build your kingdom, when we love God and help people, and use all of our resources, time, talent, and resources for that end, then I'm playing for Team Jesus. If I'm playing for Team Babylon, Lord, I'm all about self and using people, and God takes a back seat. How do I know I'm playing for Team Babylon? When God rattles my towers and I freak out a little bit. Lord, you love us. Don't let anyone hear this message in a condemnation as if you're shaking a bony, disapproving finger at them. Quite the contrary. If you find that you're playing for Team Babylon this morning, it's easy. Just come out. Come out. Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. The Bible every day, worshiping CDs in the radio in the car at home, and prayer as ever God prompts you, and then fellowship, getting together with other former tower builders. Lord, in Jesus' name, pour out upon our city. Pour out upon our young people, Lord. Pour out upon our marriages, God. Pour out, Lord God, what you want to do. And if I'm keeping too tight a grip on a tower that I don't even know is there, then Lord, please shake it, rattle it. And if I find myself squeaking in protest, May today's message come to mind. Lord, I didn't even know that tower was there. Thank you, Lord, for rattling my tower. In Jesus' name, all the loved ones of the Lord said, Amen. Amen.